Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right. Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie Hutchinson. My special guest today is Chief Raymond Garvey, Jr., Chief of Police of the Freeport Police Department in the wonderful state of Texas. He's probably going to tell me it's the best state in the union, but we'll wait to see about that. Hey, welcome to the show, Chief.
Thank you, sir. Proud to be here. Thank you.
Hey, if you would, tell our listeners a little bit. I mean, you're a huge influencer on in your community, really around the country. I met you on LinkedIn, just seeing all your wonderful, positive posts and everything that you've been involved in. But if you would, share with the listeners about, you know, all the various hats you wear, if you will, besides being that chief of police, because you are a busy man.
Well, you know, yes, you know, you have the administrative part of being a police chief, but it's a little bit more than that. You know, we're very strong in community. That's to me, we're only as successful as the support we have from our community. Obviously, with everything going on around the country, we're doing our best to stay positive. We haven't left that belief. We've been staying positive, still being involved, doing things in the community, doing things with the community for children in need. Anything to put a smile on someone's face, the answer is yes. I have a hard time saying no.
Speaking of the community, if you would, most people know, but for those that don't, talk to us about the Abigail Project.
Just a little blessing again. I met Abigail through one of my other detectives here, probably going to be now 2 years now. They came to me and told me she had terminal cancer. I read the story on it on Facebook. I reached out to the parents. I just knew we needed to do something for her. Told them I saw the story, invited them to a Christmas event we were having. Pretty much told the dad, bring a truck because we're going to have it full of toys for her. And it was a blessing the minute she walked in the door. She lit up the entire room. At the time, she was 6 years old. And then we became friends through that one meeting and came out a few more times. And during one of our conversations, she told me she wanted to be a police officer when she grew up. Well, yeah. I had to make that happen. February 7th, 2019, we made that happen here in front of several police officers from all over the state of Texas, including Texas Rangers. And it went viral. I got very emotional in reading, you know, when I was swearing her in. I had no clue, but what a blessing. Almost 37 million views later, and she became an overnight celebrity. Yeah. And we traveled the country because of it, even to the White House. She got to sit in President Trump's chair. I didn't get to do that, but she did. But it was a blessing, and what she did for me personally speaks volumes. What she did for my community speaks volumes. What she did for our country speaks even more volumes. During difficult times for law enforcement, she continued to shed a positive light on law enforcement. What she did when she put that uniform on, she told you it was time to go to work.
Yeah. And I watched that. I watched your video, and it chokes you up, no doubt about it. And if you will, Chief, talk a little bit about 758 Bay House.
Well, you know, during this journey with Abigail, I was blessed to be able to go on different trips with her, and some were fishing trips, hunting trips. She just continued to be gifted by so many people. And so my wife and I, you know, we had been looking for a little weekend place, and it came to us that we wanted to do something in her memory and her honor. We wanted to continue to live her legacy. When we met these folks that were giving us these trips, you know, we asked, hey, is this your Bay House? And they were like, no, we're borrowing it from Mr. Johnson or Mr., you know, so-and-so. He let us borrow it for a weekend, you know, to take kids out. Well, mm-hmm. We stuck with that idea, and we said, you know what, if we're going to do something, you know, we're blessed, you know, God continues to bless us. So let's share our blessings with others. And that's what we've done. So we purchased this beautiful little house on the bay near Galveston with the intention of having family time, of course, but to share our blessings with others, especially kids, police officers in need, anyone that needs a smile, if we can make it happen, come to the 758 Bay House.
That is amazing. Chief, tell me a little bit about the other hats you wear. You mentioned your wife. Talk to me about your family and the other hats, roles you take on besides being chief.
Sure. You know, I'm blessed to have a family that supports everything I do. As a matter of fact, they're actually involved in everything I do. If I say we're having, they cheer me on, and then they come up with their own ideas. And then, you know, I my oldest daughter's a principal, second oldest teacher, and another one's a Harris County police officer. My daughter's in college playing softball, who also wants to be a police officer. We just believe in doing things to help others. And that's what police officers and teachers do. It's awesome to see a student come back 15 years later with his Marine Corps uniform on and, you know, saying as a principal or teacher that that kid came through my program. Yeah. And I did something to help him. You know, we tend to forget the hat that we wear, what it means. It's more than just a paycheck. So I don't even know what I make every 2 weeks. My wife handles the finances. It doesn't matter what I make. It's what I do to make that money is what makes me proud. And my family does that. I still grandfather, two beautiful kids, grandkids. My daughter gets married this weekend. I find time somehow, some way to make it all happen, but it's easy when you have the blessing and support from my family.
Oh yes. Well, congratulations. That's, you have a big weekend coming up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. You know, of course, the podcast is called the Get Balance Program, about work-life balance. And some one thing I always like to share with listeners and my guests is that, you know, I sort of have this definition of work-life balance that I've been working around with for many years. And I try to keep it really simple. And the way I define work-life balance is by asking a question. And that question is, are your day-to-day behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life?
Yes, sir.
And yes, what do you think about that definition? And how have you defined work-life balance?
Well, I've always said that what I do, not only take the title away, but just as a police officer, we work for God. Okay. We're out here serving and protecting people, strangers who we don't even know. Okay. You know, God died on the cross for us. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to stand and shield someone for what God did for us. We work through him. And so when I say that, yes, my life is designed exactly through my work life, exactly what I do here. I believe in God at home. I believe in God here at work. Everything is combined in what we do. And I'll tell you what, little Abigail, she made me a better servant leader. You know, when you're 6 years old and she passed at seven, and knowing that she's going and getting needles and when she was doing chemotherapy and all that, and still smiling, you and I don't have a problem. Whatever it is, that the bill you didn't pay, oh, you know, I lost my job. I get it. Struggles. You're not dying. Okay. This little girl was dying, and still, for what she did in 10 months, the people that she, you know, influenced and got to and changed them, that just told me I had to continue doing that. And I do that in my family life as well as my work life. And they're all the same to me. I have folks that come to my house, so they can't. I actually live an hour away, and people that want to come visit and can't make it down here, and they come to my house and sit down to dinner with my wife, or we're at a restaurant. She and I will buy dinner for someone just because I look over and something tells me they need to have dinner paid for tonight, and it's paying it forward. And that's the way I live my life every day, is helping others, even in my family life. Yeah. We all do that at the table together.
Well, I can tell God is so important. And I do. And I know you said this, is that with Abigail, it's like you witnessed a living angel. And when you think about your priorities, in life and sort of your guiding principles, as you mentioned, God and your faith, where did those come from, Chief?
You know, from my family, you know, upbringing. But I'll be honest with you, sir, I've been a police officer 29 years and I've been there seeing the struggles for people, you know, people that don't have places to live, and we have to get calls out to homeless, panhandling and things like that. 29 years I've been dealing, you know, seeing kids being abused, assaulted, women, you know, family violence. I put myself in their position. I wouldn't want that to happen to anyone in my family. So I just find it in my heart to do what I can to help people. It's just the right thing to do. That's what we are. I guess some of us have forgotten what police officers are meant to do, what we were brought here to do, why we took an oath. And it's more than just to put on the uniform. We're role models to people. And that's what I want to continue being, as a role model.
Yes. And it seems like you are a fantastic, you and I'm sure your wife, fantastic role models for your children. I heard school principal, school teacher, and three daughters, one.
Yeah, and my son's a police officer and my youngest is in college right now.
And your son is a police officer with Freeport?
Harris County Sheriff's Department.
Okay. And well, they're on that servant, right? That servant heart, servant. And so that servant leadership that you talk about, you know, a lot of times when in business, we talk about servant leadership, but you're talking about it. It's not that is your hat you wear in the office. It's you as a person, right?
Yes, sir. And that, you said it exactly right. If you're that kind of person, it will filter out to what you do when you serve others. So it's just how I'm built, the way I was raised. You know, I remember getting shoes from a garage sale, you know, and the newest thing that I got was the laces. You know, I lived that life, and you know what, I'm blessed now. But so when I tell you that I know their struggles, I lived them. And, yeah, you know, we lived in a small little home, and dad not having anything for Christmas for us, you know, but it's okay. I'm blessed now. So now what I do is life lessons. I try to help others through what I experienced.
Yes. Talk to me about, if you would, about with your deputies. How, you know, they have a living example. They see you, they work with you. But if you would find or get a sense that one of your deputies, their work-life balance is really off, or they're heading down a path that you know is, that may not have a good result for you. How do you lead in that scenario? How do you coach them on?
Well, you use the word coach. That is exactly right. It's tough with everything going on in the world. We have a small community. I have 33 sworn officers. I'm very blessed. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm only as successful as my organization. I have some of the best men and women in the business who support what I do, my vision. And it's easy to get the job done when you have those kind of folks out there. We're constantly teaching, preaching, using other examples that are going around the country of how we could do it better. But when they listen, that's where I win. Not where they just not listen, but listen, listen and listen. They actually take it in. We talk about it. How could we have done this differently? How could we have done better? How could we have handled that situation differently? And we come to a conclusion, and then we share it with everybody, even the civilian staff. So I guess I'm fortunate that I have those that listen. I'll be honest with you on that part. If they don't, they don't work for me. They understand what I expect from them. I mean, the community thing, just this weekend alone, we posted four or five things, birthday drive-bys, 80-year-olds, a special needs kid who wanted Paw Patrol. Okay, we dressed in Paw Patrol, got in the back of a Humvee. They're all with that. All I got to do is send a message. We'll take care of it, Chief. When you have some that may not be all into that, my guys are. They it's proven. I mean, we got kids bringing cookies up to the front lobby. Can I take a picture of the police officer? Indeed, you can. It won't stop. You know, I'm just very blessed and fortunate to have an amazing staff that have my vision of community policing, but at the same time doing the job.
Was that by a stroke of luck, or how did you influence that?
I guess leading by example, you know, do it the way I would expect them to do it. Again, I've been blessed here over the years that I've had people that have applied with me that have followed what I do and have made it clear that they wanted to work for me and have the same vision. So I've been fortunate to have those that continue coming. We have a list of a few that if we have an opening that want to come work for me, we're very, again, blessed again that we have very little turnover. So just leading, you know, leading from the front, if I don't want them to do anything that I wouldn't do. At the same time, I want them to do what I would do, and they're right there behind me.
Yes. How do you, or how have you addressed, or I'm sure you do address it, the recent shootings over the weekend in LA County, you know, the ambush, which is just horrible. But I imagine the families, the spouses of your deputies have concern. And how are you addressing that as a leader?
I continue to reach out to them. I continue to tell them to stay vigilant. We are in a tough time right now. I mean, that is unheard of, where someone just comes up and shoots a police officer for no reason, two police officers at that. I mean, just sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
It's realistic, obviously. So I continue to mentor them, to be careful, to watch each other's back. You know, we change the way we do things, where we park, where we stop. I mean, I've heard stories, seen stories where officers are in a restaurant that have been ambushed, you know. I think one was in Florida a while back. So it's a sad situation that, you know, I think we have almost a million police officers nationwide, and you got a small percentage that are bringing us a bad name. I would pray and ask those people out there, please don't hold all of us accountable under the same umbrella of the ignorance of a few. Again, we're living proof of it that we care. We're doing things for other people. We're still there for you. You call me to your son's birthday party. If I've got $20 and you need it, I'm going to give it to you. And not just me, my entire staff would do that for anybody. So look at those positive things as opposed to just the negative things. And somewhere along the line there, we've all lost sight of it. It's not about race anymore. We're all people. We're all humans. It's about the few that are ignorant, that are making these mistakes, just like in any profession, mm-hmm. but don't hold everybody, all police officers, accountable for those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Let me change gears on you a little bit and talking about one of the fundamental principles of work-life balance. That another piece that I drive is that taking care of ourselves, you know, our physical, our diet, our exercise, our sleep, our psychological needs, social needs, spiritual needs, and all of that. I saw on, I think it was LinkedIn, a picture of you in the gym. So I know you, appear to frequent the gym, but how has self-care and understanding that, you know, we need to take care of this here, the vessel that we live in, right? And our minds and all of that. How have you practiced that over the years? And has that been important to you?
Absolutely. As far as the physical part, we're blessed here at this organization that we're allowed to work out on duty 1 hour a day, every single, even civilian employees. That's only part of it. We can all get up and go run. We can all go ride a bike. We can all go walk. We can all do push-ups. To me, it's more healthy on the mental part. I am real big on morale. To me, that's what weighs us down, is being unhappy. That's what brings a person down to where they go home and have an argument with their wife, their kids, because they had a horrible day at work. And that's going to happen sometimes just with the job. But the part where I try to fix things is, as a leader, how I treat my employees, how we have morale in the department. We cook out together. We do crawfish together. We collect money and pass a hat around, and guy goes and buys barbecue. That's the mental physical aspect of it all, where we try to make people happy. If you come to me and tell me I need to take off today, my son's football game, but we're shorthanded, we'll figure it out. We'll call someone in. You owe in, because how important is it for that officer to be there at his son's football game? How important is it to his son or her son for to see mom or dad in the stands? Sorry, that has, to me, that is the biggest part, biggest component of happy people, healthy people, mentally, physically, is having a good workplace, a happy workplace. If you can accomplish that, everything else is great. And again, we're fortunate that we haven't had any issues. We haven't had an internal affairs investigation in almost 3 years, because my guys are doing it right on and off duty.
I love that. I love that answer. I know you have not read my book. I have a book called Lead with Balance, how to balance your lives in an imbalanced culture. In chapter 4, I talk about, if we just focus on having make our employees happy. And I was talking about an office environment where, because you have to do an inventory. You need to ask people, are your spouse, your children, get to know them, know what activities those kids are in, because the employee may be somewhat hesitant to even ask if they could leave at 4 o'clock to go catch that soccer game or band concert or whatever it might be. But wow, if we serve them and give them and make sure that they go out and get and can do that and make it work, like you said, make it happen. And I always thought that, hey, we can make it happen in private businesses, and you're just, here you are, civil servant, we can make it happen too. And I completely agree.
We have to. I mean, again, if you don't, now they're upset. Now they're miserable. Now you call us to come out to help you on your stolen vehicle. We have an attitude. What have we accomplished there?
Okay. Right.
So right. Let's do our best to make morale good. And that's dispatchers, civilian jailers, in every aspect here. We do our, but we can't make you happy all the time. But if we can try to do our best, it's work for us. And so we start out the day trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
We've been very successful there.
That is fantastic. Now, Chief, I heard you talk about God quite a bit, and I can tell God is front and center.
Sir.
Help some of the listeners out there that struggle with, they have the faith. They probably have a very private, a lot of people have that private faith, private relationship with God, but you have bridged that gap of bringing it into the workplace, which is considered in our cultures that we're in, right? That's maybe a no-no thing, but I can tell that doesn't, affect you. Any words of advice for them on how to become more public with it and make it part of the leadership like you do?
It's a very sensitive issue. I get it. I guess, first of all, you got to believe what you say. And I don't just use it just to preach. I use it in my everyday life when I'm dealing with what we call your customers. Our customers are my citizens, and my employees. They're my kids. I'm fortunate to be able to bring it and be able to use it at the right time to put the word out there about believing in God and trusting your faith. This community is a very driven faith community. We have so many churches that have stopped by, bring us food, want to pray with us. That right there in itself says a lot. I get invited to a lot of church events. Again, it says a lot. And it goes back to the individual. I'm going to have to just keep bragging that I'm blessed that I have some great employees that also believe in their faith. And if you don't, I've always left the door open to where, hey, if you don't want to do all that and don't want to, I get it. You're right. But here, I have to say that 99% of our folks here believe in God and their faith and know that he's among us and is right there beside us, watching over us. And I have to go back to say it again, that's Abigail, how she continues to inspire us and what she went through. And she loved everybody in this police department. They all loved her, and we used her space. She was godly, sir. I mean, she knew how to pray. She taught me how to pray. She would think with unscripted by thanking people at events. Thank you for praying for my brother. Thank you for praying. Oh my, you know, I couldn't stop crying. I mean, God chose this little girl. And I think she also influenced my staff, just made them even more spiritual by what she did and how she led with her faith, led us to continue going down a better path of faith. So I'm not afraid to tell you that I love God. And if some folks don't like that, I understand that you're entitled to your opinion, but it's not going to change mine. That's who
I am. Right. Now, what are some of your toughest work-life balance challenges today?
Again, always worrying. I do worry about the major incident that could occur. You know, I worry a lot when I'm at home. The phone doesn't stop ringing. But when I took this job in this position, I promised to be there for my guys, no matter what time, where I'm at. Unfortunately, I might be swimming in the Pacific Ocean on vacation, have a phone in my pocket, because I just feel that I got to be there for them. I'm just constantly worried, you know, of the do's and don'ts. And, you know, my guys are human. They're going to make mistakes. But we try to educate them. You see what's going on in the bigger cities, you know, defunding police departments, which our county's very, very supportive of law enforcement. I don't ever believe that's going to happen here. But for the most part, how do you say it? The train is on the right track. I always worry about that rock that might be on the track that might derail us. That's probably my biggest fear is something going wrong and how do we handle it? But I can tell you this, that I know that we'll still have a lot of support because of what we built, the foundation that we built with our community. People are always saying building bridges with your community. Our bridge is built, sir. All mm-hmm. we're doing is adding landscape to it. Mm-hmm. How do we continue to beautify the bridge, because our bridge is strong. That foundation is there. We just need to keep adding new landscape to it. And that's my worry, is making sure the landscape is watered and growing and blossoming and making sure things continue down the right track.
Wonderful. What have been some of your secrets of building those great relationships with your children and your wife?
You know, sometimes people don't hang up the phone and say they love you or I love you. And we do. That's just the way we are. We get together all the time, whether now with FaceTime and whatever it may be. Even when my kids were growing up, I may not have been a chief, but I was a police officer, which even tougher there, you know, working all the time. But work balance, I always found a way to be that officer. That's why I tell you that when that officer says, I can't make it to my son because we're short, we're going to go. Because I remember my kids always in the stands. Even if it was a school function during the day, I would be one of the parents there. It might be 10 of us, but you could look up and there I was. Even just to see it and then a wave goodbye and go. You know, we're big on getting together all the time. We make time for each other, whether it be a Sunday or at the Bay House. We've always done that. You know, we change different locations to get together. We have to do that to be strong and lean on each other. I've seen so many stories again through my career where people leave too soon. You know, I have to call a parent to say, your kid hit a telephone pole, is no longer with us. I imagine myself being that parent. And with that being said, I got to make sure I communicate with my kids. And I even tell you, my oldest daughter, who's a principal, every now and then she'll remind me, don't forget, you got a daughter that wants to hear from you. And you know what? I apologize and said, baby, I'm sorry. I know you're busy. I see you, Dad. I'm here too. You know what? You're right. And the wife, you know, supports 110%. She puts on the Paw Patrol suit, does whatever I need her to do. She's there for me. But then she'll say, don't forget mine and your time. You're right. Yes. And I'm good with that. I need to be told that every now and then. She doesn't want to derail me, but she says, hey, can I get on the train with you? And this on one of those stops with that train, let it be a stop for just you and I. You're right, honey. I get it, and I'm blessed again that I have that support staff, but my thing is don't forget my kids. I'm still their dad, my grandkids. I'm still their grandfather, and I don't. And every now and then, God gives me a nudge not to forget as well.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of law enforcement, firefighters, first responders that they get on that busy, that racetrack of life.
Sure.
And they have regrets and they feel bad. And especially if they hear how you have been doing things. But could you share with them a little bit the important, you know, why did you choose to do that? Why did you choose to be the father that made that time? And what was it in you? And how do you think your children, how it made them feel? And do you encourage, and as you mentioned, you encourage your deputies to do the same.
Absolutely. I mean, when it's all said and done, you know, we either leave the business one day or go to the heavens, however it may be, your family will be there for you forever, as long as you're there for them. And that to me is the foundation that leads to me being, you know, it's God, family, and police work, bottom line. And so I have to have those other two foundations to be a successful police officer, police chief, administrator. I need them in my life. And, you know, I tell you, I try to make them they make me happy. So as long as I have my family, they're supporting me and happy with them. And whether it's just pushing my grandson around or pushing him on a swing set, or my granddaughter saying, stay relentless, taking a photo, you know, like Abigail would want. You know, those are the kind of things that keep me happy and keep me going. You got to have your family. If you know, you have to, and I've seen it through my career about divorces and fathers or mothers that may have been incarcerated and I couldn't be there because I didn't have a mom or dad. That's ridiculous. You know, keep being who you are. Parent the kids. They didn't ask for you to be their parents. You know, you created them. So you know what? You have an obligation. Do what you're supposed to. And it's more than just buying them things. It's loving them. If you have love, all the other things fall into place. And that's just how I've always lived my life, is being a family man, preaching to my guys. I send them nice messages. We're in a group text messaging system. And I send positive things out like I do on social media. Sometimes it might be just goofy to tell them, hey, y'all are the best cops in the area. I love you. And, you know, don't forget about family.
That is awesome. Chief, what do you look forward to?
Well, you know, I don't know where I could go from here other than just continuing to do good things and doing my part to make this world a better place. It may not mean a lot to most people, but it means a lot to me to just do my part to continue to have a blessed and successful organization, doing what we can just in our little part of the world to make life better for not only for ourselves, but for the people that count on us, that depend on us, that look up to us, to be there for them, even if it's just to pray with them, you know? Yeah. We've had to do that before where, you know, you get a 21-year-old rookie who gets called out to a family disturb between two 55-year-old people. What does this guy know? He's 21 years old. Well, he'll learn quickly because that's what we do. And if not, we'll preach to him and teach him. And just continuing to serve, to be a servant leader and to do what God has asked us to do. We work for God without a doubt. You know, I try to say humanizing the badge. I'm normal. I have tattoos, sir. You know, this one right here says, without God, I'm nothing.
Yes.
I'm normal, just like you. You know, I put on shorts and a muscle shirt when I get home. You know, I'm just like you. The only thing is I chose a profession that I believe gives to others, helps others, serves others. I'm still normal, though. And I can still be normal and serve others in a positive way.
Yeah, yes. You know, one of the things that I talk about in my workshops is that I call it the window of time closing. And I'll put it in context. I have four children and my two youngest daughters are in high school. So they're juniors and seniors and they go half days now with the pandemic. But my senior, you know, I only have so many daddy-daughter dates, lunch dates, coffee dates with her left. My junior, I have 2 years, because once they go off to college, then really not going to see them very often, right? Except when we really try to make that happen. So when we think about the window of time, whether it's a couple years, is there anything in your life that you start thinking, hey, what do I need to do now that I might not be able to do in a couple of years? Is there anything out there that you really are going to prioritize to make happen?
Well, you summed it up, you know, with time and the kids moving on, you know, they also have their lives, you know, now married, three of the four are married and two have kids. Continue being there for them as a role model, to lead from the front, from the top as dad, grandpa, being there for them, still showing up. Again, I say this uniform is such a blessing, because I do events for my kids now. You know, when they call me to the school, you know, hey, Pops, will you come and talk to the kids and tell them about Abigail? During when she was with us, I actually went to their schools with Abigail. And, you know, we do back the blue football games at my daughter's school, you know, because of these kind of things. It all goes back to me being a very proud police officer, not just a chief, but a police officer, that I'm able to use who I am and what I do to continue supporting my children, which leads to when we're done with whatever program, and then we go to lunch or go to dinner, or sometimes just surprising them in uniform, stopping by to visit my kids, just to continue to be there for them and teach them how I want them to be parents to their kids.
Yeah, that is great. Is there anything you could share with our listeners that people don't generally pick up on, like on LinkedIn or Facebook and things like that? Something about you that is just not that well known?
I guess for me, you pretty much see it all. I do. I guess I've been tagged as there's an organization. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it's an organization for law enforcement, social media organization. They invited me last year out when Abigail was with us to go visit with them and talk about me not being afraid to share what I do. You pretty much see everything about me. What you see is what you get. Again, I'm human. You know, I love people. I'll do anything for kids. I've proven that. I've kissed llamas in the mouth with red lipstick on because Abigail wanted me to do that. You know, the other day I met another young lady battling bone cancer who, you know, had to lose her leg because of it. And a very beautiful little girl that came out to the 758 Bay House. And she has it, her mom has these bedazzled little diamond, little sprinkly colored boots. And we made a little bet and I lost. And now she has my boots and she's going to put sprinkly gold bedazzle on them. That's the only thing I say, just make sure it's gold to go with the uniform. Will I wear them in uniform? Absolutely, I will. Because when you ask me and you look down and when you ask me what they are, I'm going to tell you the same story I just told you, that it's about Haley. You know, Haley's Heroes from Fort Worth, Texas. Sir, what you see is what you get. You know, there's no difference. I don't turn it off. I live life like it's my last day. And if I can help someone and inspire someone in my last minutes to live life to the fullest and be happy, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes. Speaking of that, Chief, what advice do you have for young police officers, as well as maybe ones that have been in their career for a little bit that are not in your department, but around the country, that may not be being led by a person like you, but really find your message attractive? What advice do you have for them?
You hear that saying, hold the line. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase being used. Well, it's more than just hold the line from those that try to harm us. Hold the line in caring for people. Don't give in just because of these negative things. I mean, it's like a subject matter we talk about with my guys almost every day. Do you hear what happened on the news? I get it. I get it. But don't let that discourage you. New officers, especially, I hear people all the time, oh, I would never want my kid to be a police officer. And this is from senior officers. Mm-hmm. I disagree. I encourage my youngest daughter. We're still fighting about that, whether she wants to do that or be a school teacher, you know, go back and coach softball, the game she played all these years. I'm still pushing her toward law enforcement. It's still, we still have way more many people that support us than, you know, than that do not support us. And if you give up, it's going to get worse. We need servant leaders that still want to get out there and do good things, like being at the counter at the convenience store and looking over and hearing a parent. You can tell they need a blessing, and they tell their child to put something back, not because that's the way we raised them. And I, there's some things you tell kids no to, but when they're just asking for that 25-cent sucker and they tell you, put it back because we don't have any money for that. Hey, reach into your pocket and buy that kid 10 suckers. And if you don't have, I'll reimburse you the money. Okay. Yeah. But do it. And I bring that up because we had a program like that. You bring us a receipt, we give you the money back. And guess what? That lasted about 3 weeks. Now there's no more receipts. They're just paying out of their pocket because it's paying it forward. So all I can do is encourage the older officers, keep leading, keep encouraging. Because if you give up, then the younger officers will give up. Continue to tell them there's more good than evil. Keep being who we are, servant leaders. And I promise you one day, I just, in my heart, in my mind, in my faith, things are going to get better, even though people are going to disagree with me. I just can't believe that we're done. We're going to keep moving forward and keep being there for people. People still need us.
Wonderful. Chief, is there, and the pulling this into wrapping it up, is there anything that I might not have asked you or have given you enough time to talk about that you'd like to share more on? Anything at all?
You know, again, I think you got it pretty much covered. I'm honored to be invited out to your show again. I love people. I can't say that enough. I don't care what your nationality is, what your background is, what your culture is. That means nothing to me. I only see people. And, you know, and if everyone else would see it that way, just see people for who they are, you know, why I'll pick why people play Tejano music, you know, why people play rap music. That's their culture. Why people play polka music. Hey, I'll move to polka music. I mean, I know how, it doesn't matter. You know, it's culture. It's the way they were brought up. If you let little things like that bother you, man, you're in the wrong business, brother. You know, that's just not, it's not the way to be. Just love people for who they are, because you would want them to love you for who you are, no matter what you look like, what you're going through, life in general, sick, not sick, autism, you know, Down syndrome, special needs. I love them all. You know, what I put myself again, I see myself as them, and what would I want if I were them? So you know what, if I was a different nationality, race, whatever, I'd want you to treat me the way I was if I was that person. So that's what I do. I treat them as if they were me, everybody I come in contact with.
You're truly an inspiration.
I appreciate that, sir.
You absolutely are. And I absolutely believe God is doing work in you and with Abigail and all the people that are coming through your path. Is every story I see out there, it's just, it lights up my day, and truly has inspired me. And truly, when you just mentioned your oldest daughter, that she's like, hey, don't forget about me. You know, yeah. I have one I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and my oldest is in Los Angeles. And it's like, you know, here I am. I'm like, I need to call her more often. And, you know, I know today she starts her career job full time. First career job. And it's like,
congratulations. But you said it. She just says, I know you're busy because I'm busy, but just a phone call or just a text message.
Yeah.
And we have the technology, and she's right. I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you, and I know you love me. She'll tell me that. I know you love me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know what you'll be doing today.
Indeed. Yep, yes, sir. You got me.
I think we'll both be doing that today.
Yeah, I think we're both going to be making that phone call here in a minute. But
yes, yeah, we are.
They understand. They understand I'm busy. Like I said, I just the other day, I don't know if you even, I think I put it on there. A lady calls the PD and says, you know, she needs to talk to me. And I tell my guys, hey, give them my number if it's important. What do you mean? Give your number. What is it? If I don't want to talk to you, which very rarely happens, I won't answer your call. And if I do and I don't like it, I'll block you. Technology. I've never had to do that.
Yeah.
So I get a call on the holiday last Monday, Labor Day, I think it was. And lady tells me, I've seen your autism Humvee. I made this autism Humvee to bring all autism awareness. And she tells me her son's 5 years old, severe autism. And he's been having a bad 2 or 3 weeks and very depressed and needs something to build him, you know, to make him smile. Okay, ma'am, what can we do for you? Can you please, tomorrow's his first day of school, can you pick him up and take him to school in the Humvee?
Yeah.
Of course. Well, she didn't tell me that she lived in Pasadena, which is an hour away. And if I'm on a military Humvee, they'll do anything you need it to do except driving them a long ways. They're tough. They're rough. As a matter of fact, I haven't even told the lady. We were blessed to make the deal. But when we brought it back the next day, it broke down on us. And the officer was broke. But he was okay with it. He was on the side of the road for 2 hours, you know, because he said, you know, we made it happen for the young man, unknown, you know, what it was going to do. The media picked it up. And it went viral. I'm getting messages from California. You know, it was on Fox and Friends. They shared it, you know.
Yeah.
But we didn't do it for that, but I'm glad that it did. Here it is again. More positive love for law enforcement. All this negative things going on. So we're going to continue that path, you know. But my daughter gets it. She says, Dad, I see you, you know. She'll text me. I'm so proud of you. All my kids do that. But I need to do that back every now and then. Don't forget, I'm still here, you know. So, you know, just like you said, even a text message saying, have a great day, I love you, that's all she needs to hear. And sometimes, you know, we get a little distracted with work, but I'm glad that I have them to remind me, you know, not to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Well, Chief, I am so honored to have you on the show. I thank you for being my guest today. And I would like to close the show out with just an offer. And that is, would you like to give all the police officers in this crazy time a blessing?
You know, you say that. It's very tough. I think about my son who's out there on the front lines. I pray that God watch over every single peace officer in this world. You do truly work for him, whether you believe it or not. You work for God. Continue doing what you're doing. Lord, watch over them. I pray that you keep them in your hands and keep them safe as they continue to work for you and protecting strangers who they don't even know. It's definitely not for the money, Lord. It's for your blessing. I ask this in your great name. Amen.
Amen.
Sir.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balance program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.